Welcome to the Rooted in Change podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Jan and you're listening to the Rooted in Change podcast. This show features European clean tech champions and their solutions to tackle the climate crisis. Today's guest is Samuel, co-founder and CEO at CompPair. The first few podcast episodes ever focused on materials, and now we're back. CompPair is a Swiss company offering composite products. The really exciting part is they have created self-healing composites. I witnessed that firsthand a couple of weeks ago. Really impressive. Emma will tell us all about this in just a second. Welcome.
So, hello everyone. It's also a pleasure to be here, and thank you very much for the invitation. Yes, at CompPair, we are globally bringing self-healing composites live for various types of application. It started 5 years ago, more officially, but it's a long time right now because there was plenty of research behind. We are actually a spin-off from the École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne in Switzerland. And I did my PhD in that field. And then after the PhD, we made a big discovery. And then that's where we said we need to go on because the industry was asking a lot about that. But maybe for listeners...
We'll dive in all of this in just a second, but let's start with your history first, so the listeners get to know you. So you just mentioned that you did the PhD. So how sort of what was the time before CompPair, and what led to where you are now? What's sort of your journey? Maybe that's a good starting point.
I'm an engineer by training. I always loved looking at materials, looking at how the world is built globally and understanding what's behind. And quickly, I went to composite materials because they, back in the times, it was really for me also close to applications and the interest for that. And after that, so I pursued this PhD in self-healing composites, which was really a great experience. And that's where basically we had the opportunity to say, okay, there is a discovery. We now found a way to make those materials repairable, competitive for the market, and we need to valorize that. We need to capture the maximum value of this technology onto the market.
Gotcha. And for everyone who isn't familiar with composite materials, because I mentioned before. The podcast started with the materials, but we've been covering water tech and batteries and anything basically in the climate tech space. So walk us through what are composite materials for everyone who isn't in that space.
So in one word, composite materials is the famous carbon that you see in quite a lot of your applications for sporting goods, but not only. So composite materials are made of carbon or glass or natural fibers embedded into resins to create structural and lightweight components. And the principle is really to superimpose layer on top of each other. And there is this resin that will bind the different layers together. And this creates really lightweight materials, performance materials, and they are applied a lot into sporting goods, into aeronautical, into mobility, into energy applications. Plenty of different really nice applications with composites.
Right, and that probably also is then the challenge, right, that you discovered in the product, because as you just mentioned, if they're carbon-based, I would assume traditionally they don't have a great impact on sustainability.
So composite materials by design and because they're lightweight, they enable also to replace other types of materials to be lighter, and therefore typically into mobility industry, that's where you get savings. But on the other side, the problem that at CompPair we are tackling is that today repair cost of those materials, because they're brittle by design, and they can, and repair is highly cumbersome today, because most of the time if you want to repair, you need to drill a hole into the structure, you need to do what we call the patch repair mechanism, and then come back with layers and remanufacture the composites. So it takes a lot of time and it costs billions to the industry. And so for many applications, we also consider composites as consumables more for and when they reach the end of life, we just take them as waste. And today, there is a really significant portion, more than 90% of composites that are not recycled and that end up into landfill.
Right,
And
because of the
so,
design of the process that you just described, right? It's sort of they
because
reach
it's
the
a
end of time,
composite
and
material.
it's too difficult to repair,
Exactly. And
and
to
too costly.
recycle, it's today there are a few also companies tackling the recycling, but the recycling today, you cannot recover the entire structure. And most of the time, what you do is that you recover fibers that are not to the same performances as the virgin state.
Okay, and this is then where you come in, right? Because you have found a different material.
Exactly. And what we like to say is that now what we are bringing is bringing to materials the concept of design for repair. And by utilizing our products, and so because Compair, basically we deliver semi products, so simply in quite a few words, the raw materials in order to manufacture the composite structures. And so typically getting our products to part manufacturers and OEMs. So then the parts are really designed for repair. So we are getting the materials for at the base of those applications. And in the end, when we look at waste management and what we need to do as a hierarchy, is typically from recycling is an important way, but there are different steps before, including reuse and including repair, and that's where we come in because in the end, the best way to have a consequent impact is not to generate the waste at all.
Yeah, agree. I think, the reuse and re especially repair are often overlooked in this whole process and circularity approach. And that was really impressive when I witnessed how you easily could repair, an impacted material. Maybe walk us through how that, what I felt was magic, a magic approach worked. So sort of what's happening from the tech side? How do you actually ensure that the materials are repaired? What's the secret sauce, as much as you can share?
So sharing the secret sauce, as you say, is something that is by name a secret for Compare. But the what we do globally and for the listeners as well, and what you have seen while we were also doing our during our meeting and when I was doing a typical demo is impacting and damaging composite structures. And typically you see in transparency the lamination onto the structure, which can be repaired simply with a heat trigger. So what we do at Compair is that we bring materials for manufacturing composite structures, and those composite structures, when activated by heat, will heal micro cracking and damage even within the materials that affected the resin of the composites.
Yeah, that was a very good summary. That was really impressive to see because it was really fast. So for the listeners, the demo that you showed, there was a crack before, and then with heat applied, the crack just disappeared. And that's, as we just discussed, how important it is to think about the repair aspect. What I found really impactful was that repair aspect, because consumers would normally, if there's a crack in the material or sort of in the product that they've purchased, at one point consider, well, it's not performing anymore, or sort of for visual aspects, say, look, I can't use it anymore. It's gonna go to another application, either the recycling route or the waste route. But with your approach and the speediness of it and the simplicity of it, that damage, that impact, that scratch just disappeared. That was really, really cool to see how fast and easy that was. So that's something that hopefully will have a huge impact on the overall market with you delivering the materials for it.
And we like to speak about regeneration specifically, having the capacity to regenerate damage on the structure. And that's true. Some of the damage events that we are regenerating are not damage events where typically you could not at all use the structure, but the structure will have a weakness. And if you don't do anything, it will just continue to grow. And this is
Right.
exactly where we are coming in, applying the regeneration in order to extend the lifetime of composite structures.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there is I like to also see three phases of lifetime of parts or of applications typically. And you have the production phase, you have the lifetime phase, and then you have the end of life. And at Compare, bringing our products is really the core of what we do is to extend the lifetime of parts. And therefore, this has a beneficial impact also on resources, on energy, and on the environment. But what we do also at Compare is that we consider all the steps. And so typically at production, we're working also with less impactful fibers, working with recycled carbon fibers, with natural fibers, but we are also developing some resins that are bio-based resins. And at the end of life, we work also with recyclers that know how to recycle our products.
Gotcha. So you have the whole value chain or approach there as well.
Exactly.
Let's talk about applications of your composites. So where would I find them typically? What are your first markets?
So on our side, I like to say that we are globally working on two big pillars, sports and leisure and aerospace and mobility. We have different applications, programs into there. Some of the public ones I can say are including watches. And this is one that you have seen that is on the market and that I have one around my wrist as well for regenerating the scratches onto the watch. But also, we've had public appearance as well within the ski business to regenerate the top sheet of the ski. And we have different programs in aeronautical mobility, space industry, working also with ESA, the European Space Agency, quite a lot, or for mobility, typically into the rail industry with the Swiss National Rail.
Yeah, so quite broad. And how does that typically work? Are you selling to manufacturers and OEMs directly, or what's the business model there?
So we are into an industrial environment. So the company is 5 years. There is also the time for implementation. But yes, we are at Compare selling to part manufacturers and OEMs or semi products to manufacture the parts directly. And we are into stages of programs, pilot scales, or already starting a few series in some of the applications that we have.
Gotcha. And what would you say? So, knowing everything that we know by now about Compare and sort of your approach, your journey, you know, grounded in research and a spin-off out of university, what makes you stand apart? What's sort of your uniqueness that no one else has? And to rephrase this, maybe. Why is it Compare and no one else that brings that solution to the market?
So it's really all about chemistries, and what we brought, and also our capacity to broaden our product portfolio. And the unique selling proposition of Compare is really a compatibility with existing manufacturing.
So sort of it's a drop-in solution. They don't need to change anything on their side.
They don't
More or
need to
less.
invest more
Gotcha.
for their manufacturing capacities, and it's really getting traditional means of manufacturing And so this is, but this is not only it. This is not only, so our unique selling proposition is this compatibility with existing manufacturing at competitive performances with also traditional composites, but all the while allowing in situ damage repair. And this is where we have really this this uniqueness is to be able to bring this repair, to bring also some intrinsic benefits when we manufacture the composites, because they are high resistance to micro cracking and specifically at low temperatures. So when we speaking about also space environment, about some mobility environment, it starts to be really interesting, but also an extremely good damping capacities, so vibrational properties.
Right, so it's, let me rephrase this. What you're saying is the it's the combination of bringing the repair quality to the market while being cost competitive and not changing the way the products are being manufactured, right? So from sort of from a manufacturer's perspective is they don't need to invest anything into new production facilities or production processes. It's price competitive with the products they have now, but the added benefit and sort of the real holy grail is the repair quality of the resins and the composite materials. Did I get that right?
So you got it.
But not right. So
you
correct me.
got it to the major extent. The most important is to say that we are bringing traditional semi products. So, but being compatible with existing manufacturing globally, rephrasing it could be that you have some composites today and our capacities to bring the same level of composites, but with added functionalities. And in there, what is important to keep in mind is that there is not only a standard product. You have different types of fibers, of textiles, of architectures of textiles, and then you have different types of resins coming to different types of performances that would be needed for XYZ applications, and that's really our capacity at Compared.
Gotcha. Okay. Looking ahead then, you know, we talked about sort of how far you've come. You mentioned it in the beginning that, you know, about 5 years ago, you started the company and, you know, have now customer collaborations in place. You shared some. Where do you want to go from here? So what's the big vision? What's the big plan for Compare?
Our big vision is to enable the industry to have the repair functionality integrated for all types of applications. And so now for us, what's next for us is raising applications and growing activities globally. Because we want to be implemented globally to composites. And therefore, for me, the next big plans is really to have the first full-scale applications in aerospace and mobility being also our focuses into the company, but not only, because we are doing a lot in sporting goods, which are important as well for our company, and also because we answer to a strong demand, to a strong problem also within those industries.
Right, and as you just described, sort of the plan going forward, what would you say is the challenge that's standing in between, or sort of, you know, as the CEO, I would assume you always want things to happen as fast as possible, ideally yesterday, and sometimes industries can be slow to respond. Can you know there might be hurdles in adoption because people are not willing to make a change from the traditional materials and so on. So how would you describe the challenge that's standing in between now and where you want to go? Or is it just sort of a more also a question on your side of building up the capacity so you can respond to larger volumes and so on? So what would you say are the challenges that you will encounter in scaling up?
Today, I'm quite proud to say that it's not anymore a question of if we have our place onto the market
Yeah,
with
you've
Compare.
proven that.
which I think is really good, you know, as a young company and spinning off from a university. So it's not a question anymore of if self-healing composites belong to the industry, but it's a question of managing our growth. And so this management is what I can say also the challenge in between today and where we have those applications, because this is what takes also some time. You mentioned it rightly, and industrial environment also takes some time, but that's normal because there is a lot of production. But what we need in order to have a consequent impact and to extend the lifetime of products and to enable to have really a huge impact on the environment is to be able to design for repair, which is all what we are bringing. And all the while, bringing the repair capacity has some beneficial inputs on the environment. But what we always say at Compere as well is that repair is not only beneficial input for the environment, but there is also economical benefits behind that, which is the power of repair in the end.
Yeah, that's a very good summary on, I guess, your overall story and your overall business. Let me close with one question, one thought then, because you mentioned that there's your journey from founding the company to where you're at now, and it's been quite a long journey, also from the outside. Then, you know, I guess doing the research first, identifying the materials, spinning this off as a company, and now scaling the company to where you are today, as you rightfully said. You know, it's not a question anymore whether you have a spot on the market. You've deserved that, and you've proven your relevance there. What is it that keeps you going on a daily basis?
The impact potential of enabling design for repair and globally seeing this incredible venture growing. And what is most important is that I'm not alone behind that. I have a fantastic team with me. And so I would like also to congratulate all the team because that's also their achievements. And
Yeah, it's not just you anymore alone, right?
No, it's not just me anymore, and I have also great co-founders, which I want to thank because it's also thanks to them that we are here today and that we have this capacity and this status also and stage into the market that will continue to grow, and grow.
Well, lovely. I keep my fingers crossed. All the best for your scale up journey. I find this a really exciting venture. Again, when I learned about it and got to witness it firsthand, I think that's a really cool technology. As you mentioned, in numbers of applications, and this idea of integrating repair by design, and delivering the right materials for it, really is an important one. And as you just mentioned, the impact is going to be just a fingers crossed for your continuous success. All the best for that, and thank you so much for making the time today.
Thanks to you.